Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This is the Dale and Keith Show.
How do you feel about Michael Bennett with the Patriots so far?
Michael Bennett has now been suspended for one game.
Ready for the hot take?
What's the hot take?
He doesn't finish the year with the team.
Dale Arnold.
So you think right now Jimmy Garoppolo is a better quarterback than Tom Brady?
Yes.
And why are the reasons?
The eye test.
You, my friend, are a boo.
He's hot. Hotter than Jimmy G.
Rich Keith.
Dale, step off.
Bob,
be in your lane.
Bob,
yeah, step off,
Bob,
Dale.
I gotta ask. Bob.
Heartfelt goodness. Middays.
You lost your car, or would you run out of gas?
80 miles.
Oh, 80 miles. I got it. You're like an hour and 20 minutes from Santa Fe.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Hour number three, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. I feel like we're working in an alternate dimension.
Why do you say that?
We're in a building where literally the only three rooms that have lights are these three studios here.
Don't you feel special?
The rest of the building is pitch black.
Yeah.
Everybody's been told to stay home.
Yeah, plenty of good spots in the parking lot.
Yep.
There are lots of those.
Yeah.
Going to the restroom is a bit of a challenge because there are no windows in there.
Does that mean the vending machine is free?
I don't know how you could pay if
means?
You wanted
you
to.
You couldn't possibly pay. Just go in there and grab whatever you want.
Just sit down,
free
Steve.
For all.
Sit back
Steve,
down.
Get back here.
Listen, I'm just hoping that wasn't the sink in the bathroom. That's all I'm saying.
No.
Well, listen, it can happen. It's not my fault.
Nope.
Right?
It's like the toilet are right next to each other.
Yeah, you're right. See?
They're practically begging for you to go in there.
It's got a little Dawn of the Dead feel out there.
It does have a Dawn of the Dead.
Or, you know, I mean, it's you walk out in the hallway.
We should go to the mall right now.
Yep.
See if they got power.
This is inside radio stuff, but I'm sort of wondering about one of our management types. Because downstairs, Joe is sitting down there in his office.
Yeah.
Completely dark.
Does he have a candle?
No computer.
Can we get him a candle.
I mean, what's he doing in there?
He
can't.
He's working.
How can he work?
He's on his phone. A slave to the internet? You can work without power.
He's writing letters and putting them in envelopes.
Hand by hand.
Yeah. That's right.
Candle wax.
Maybe what he's doing down there. So the Patriots play the Jets on Monday night. And so everything gets pushed back a day because of Monday Night Football. So Bill Belichick's normal Wednesday podium session was on Thursday. It happened just a few minutes ago down at Gillette Stadium. And there were a couple of topics that you knew were going to be brought up, and they were. And the first topic had to do with Michael Bennett, who is serving a suspension this week.
According to him.
Well, yeah.
According to Michael Bennett, the Patriots
haven't ever said anything. Yeah. So, obviously, you would ask Bill Belichick about Michael Bennett.
Yeah, I'm not going to comment on any player's personal situation. So.
Bill, what do you see as a role for Michael Bennett going forward for the rest of the season?
Yeah, right now we're focused on the Jets. That's what we're working on.
Go ahead, Bill. Bill, when it comes to bringing aboard a veteran player who's had success in a certain system, and then you bring him to your system and maybe he's asked to do some different things, how difficult, in your experience, how difficult can that be sometimes for players?
Yeah, well, I don't know. They'd have to ask the player that. Varies probably from player to player.
So, can't
ask the player that. He's suspended.
Yeah. Anybody think Bennett's making the staying with the team all year?
No.
You hear that? Like, my God,
keyword,
usually.
Keyword, personal.
Personal.
First thing he said.
Personal.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's going on there?
In not commenting, he seemed to say volumes, didn't he?
Yeah, of course. Usually it's I'm only going to talk about guys who are on the roster, and that's why he wouldn't talk about, you know, players that you knew were on the team but hadn't been activated yet. Or,
Ben Watson.
We've seen Josh Gordon. He's out there on the practice field already.
Fair enough. You know what I mean? That's an easy one. Michael Bennett, as far as we know, is still on the roster, although that could change at any second. And so by not talking about him And then they even try to get in there another way. Like, what's his role going to be? Not going to talk about that. So that's a football question. That's not about, you know, what do you think about Michael Bennett, the person.
Concentrating on the Jets.
Concentrating on the Jets. So he did the, we're looking at the Jets rather than talking about a player who is on the team. Yeah, for now.
Not this week. Not this week. Suspended this week.
Yeah, okay.
So.
Well, maybe. I mean,
that's what he said. He's on the 53, though, right? He has to be.
If you're suspended, doesn't that have to be registered with the league office?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, how does that work?
I would imagine.
Is he still on the 53,
man? You've been suspended so many times. How'd it work with you?
What happened, Steve?
Fortunately, I avoided a couple of things that should have got me suspended. But, you know, I get a good lawyer. What's the big deal? I don't know. It's
a weird situation.
It is a weird situation. I would assume that if you're going to suspend a guy, you have to notify the league, at least the union.
Right, because you're not going to pay him this week.
Right, right. So if he's suspended, and again, have the Patriots said that? I just assumed.
No, they have not. They have not.
Really?
But by Belichick,
now,
they
haven't had their first injury report of the week.
Right, that's today.
Does it show up there?
That's today.
Does it say Demaryius Thomas didn't participate? Or Michael Bennett. Demaryius Thomas is next.
Yeah.
Michael Bennett didn't participate. Suspended? I mean, what
not injury related is what they'll probably say.
Has the union commented on it?
Nope.
Not that I know of.
The union
no.
will fight the suspension?
But it doesn't even sound like Michael Bennett's fighting it. He apologized to his teammates in the statement anyway.
Not to his position coach.
No. But, I don't think he feels bad about what he said to
Maybe just
Brett.
Assumed he got suspended. Oh, he was going to be suspended for his actions. Who knows? I don't know.
It's very strange. I just think it's not going to end with him on the team.
I would assume that you have to, if you're, you can't suspend a guy without notifying the league. You
right,
can't.
Right.
It just, well, I don't know if you can or can't, but it just wouldn't make
sense.
Yeah,
how does that work? How does a team suspension work?
Hold on, I got a guy. Let me call him.
Yeah, why don't you look that up?
Probably right. have several. So a texter says, could you guys talk about why these reporters insist on asking Belichick questions they know he's just not going to answer? I don't think you do know that.
Well, that's the beauty of it.
And you can't assume that.
And Belichick's been doing it for 20 years, and there are times, and those two guys in the clip asking him the questions, Tom Kern, who's been covering him for a super long time, Phil
well
Perry,
respected.
Who's doing has been doing a great job here more recently, they also know that, you know what, sometimes Belichick does answer it. And, oh, by the way, between Belichick and Brady, they often say a lot in their non-answers.
Yeah, like what we just
right
heard.
Now. Don't you think that's an example of it? So I guess the response to the texter would be, should Belichick never have to do a press conference?
Because he'll give you. Because
he's obviously
answer.
Very guarded, right. And 95% of the time he's giving you like non-answers, and we're looking forward to the Jets. So what, are we just never going to do it? Is that what you would prefer?
What was his exact answer to the first time he was asked the first question? It was something
play that
about
back, the
personal.
The Michael Bennett part. Yeah,
I'm not sure exactly what it was.
The he doesn't comment. Question
just the first question.
Just the first part, yeah. John.
Yeah, I'm not going to comment on any player's personal situation.
Personal situation.
Didn't Michael Bennett also?
I love it.
Because Michael Bennett also had a personal situation at the start of camp. Remember, he wasn't there for that, but I think it was like legit.
Was laudatory of Belichick.
Yeah.
You know, and it was treated like me like a man,
right.
Understood.
But that thing, I believe, was like a family situation.
That's what we think.
And it sounds like it got excused and everybody moved on and it seemed like it was going fine. This is the player going through a reporter to say that he has been suspended by the team for one game for a philosophical difference, or whatever it was. And then when Belichick's asked about it, he won't even comment on it, but he says he won't comment on a personal situation. Again, what does that mean? That's sort of a gray area.
I'm all over the Google machine, and I can't
you got nothing.
Figure out exactly if the Patriots have reported it. I don't know. It just doesn't make sense.
Because wouldn't we get a press release for that, or no?
Well,
yeah, sorry.
The Patriots.
Who's
I mean, there's a big difference between deactivating a guy and suspending a guy.
Right.
Deactivating him, he's still getting paid. He gets the game check. He gets the week's pay. Suspended, he doesn't get the pay. And it's a big difference. I have not seen a word from anybody other than Bennett that says that he's been suspended.
Yahoo Sports is saying that that the New England Patriots have suspended defensive end Michael Bennett one game for conduct detrimental to the team, but they have the caveat of according to multiple reports.
Yeah, yeah. So the team has not announced it. The league has not announced it.
Right.
It is something stinks.
Yeah, and it also
stinks.
Goes on to say Bennett confirmed the suspension to ESPN. So when do you have to report it to the league?
Certainly before Monday.
One would think.
Yeah.
All right. So help me out here, because we're like parsing stuff when Belichick speaks.
Yeah, it's fun, isn't it?
Is he talking about personal reasons or personnel reasons?
No, I think, well,
sounded like personal.
Yeah, I'm not going to comment on any player's personal situation.
Personal situation.
Yeah, any player's personal situation.
Personal situation.
Well,
but a personal situation could be you threatened to fight the position coach. That's a personal situation, I suppose.
Is that more philosophical or personal?
Well, Michael said philosophical.
I always think Bill of said philosophy personal. When I think of the Bennetts. I just do for some reason.
Yep. All right, so the other topic here, obviously, was Demaryius Thomas. The Patriots released Demaryius Thomas in August. At the time, they told him their plan was to bring him back, roll in mind for the regular season, and they did.
They brought him back.
They brought him back, traded him to the Jets a week later.
Yeah.
So he said, Demaryius Thomas said, it was insulting for him the way things played out, that he intimated that he'd kind of been guaranteed us. When they said, we've got to roll in mind for the regular season,
right.
He took that as, I've got a guaranteed spot on the roster.
He also said it was a waste of his time.
Yeah,
and then he also added,
well, he did add that. Yeah. So Bill was asked about Demaryius Thomas and the things that he said today.
Yeah, look, Demaryius is a great kid. I have a ton of respect for him. He's very professional and did everything we asked him to do. Our circumstances changed a couple times in that period leading up to when he was traded, and so. I feel like I was always truthful with him, but things changed, and therefore what I said was not the same as what it was, what I'd said previously. So it is what it is.
So it sounds like Demaryius Thomas was right.
Wow. So, hey, there you go, Texter. That's why you asked the question, because sometimes he answers it. That was basically we told him he was on the team, and then things changed. Then,
like
but,
we got Antonio
but
Brown.
But to Demaryius Thomas's, I guess, to take what he said and say, how could you possibly be that confident? Steve hit on it earlier. If you are the fourth receiver, the fifth linebacker, the third or fourth corner, if you're any of those guys,
please.
you're not really guaranteed, because there's always an opportunity to upgrade. Whether it was Antonio Brown or somebody else, there was a chance that he was going to be gone. But he has a chance for revenge on Monday.
We'll talk to the playmaker, Michael Irvin, in just a couple of minutes, as soon as we get trending now out of the way, and then back to your calls.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We'll get back into the whole discussion in just a little bit about, because basically what I heard Bill Belichick say is what Demaryius Thomas said to Manish Mehta was the truth.
Yeah, he's not. It doesn't sound like Demaryius Thomas is a liar, but at the same time, how can you feel all that confident in your spot on the team when you are maybe the fourth or fifth wide receiver and you don't play special teams?
But
that's
what,
not
he,
exactly
what he's
a
saying is,
spot.
They told me. That's why I was confident. He told me.
And then things changed.
And but Bill said, I did tell him.
Right.
I did.
Things changed.
Yeah, Antonio Brown changed.
Right. And
I'm sure Ben Watson thought he was on the team week five.
Yes.
One thing you know about the NFL, unless you're one of the top stars, things change. And usually change, you know, unless you're a free agent signing a big contract somewhere, if something like this happens and you're even a mid-level player, It's unbelievable. It happens all the time.
Time for our regular weekly visit with the Playmaker, NFL Hall of Famer, NFL Network analyst Michael Irvin, brought to you by Anderson Windows and Concord Lumber and Marine Home Center, and by the VA New England Healthcare System and the New England Honda dealers, driven by the award-winning 2019 Honda CR-V. Michael, Dale, and Keith, who you're used to talking to, and Steve DiAssi's in the house, too.
Steve, what's up, man? How are you guys doing, buddy?
Good, Michael. How are you? Long time no talk. You been good?
Yeah, I'm doing well, buddy. Still above water. Yep. Anytime you're above water, you're winning.
I hear you.
Michael, yesterday the commissioner, speaking at the fall meetings, basically kind of poo-pooed the idea that there's an officiating problem in the NFL, despite the stuff we've all seen with our own two eyes. I've said that they don't have an officiating problem. What they've got is an Alberto Riveron problem, because he apparently doesn't want to ever overturn any call that's ever made.
Yeah, and it's so funny you bring that up. Now, I'm not out of school here, because when we did that game last week in London, and that's exactly what the coaches were talking about. You know, Bruce Arians talked about – Bruce Arians, I'm just telling you, not very fond of Al Riveron.
No.
Trust me, he's not very fond. In those meetings, he was all over. But what he said – and get this, guys – he said on his staff – on his staff, he has an old referee. Just like Steve, they hire us to come in and talk football.
Yeah.
And they know you're connected with the guys still in the locker room so that you can bring some of that information to the table. He has a ref on his staff that tells him when to challenge a call and when to, and even what verbiage to use when he's talking to the ref, so that he can have an insight in those calls still. That a ref is telling him, yes, that should be reversed, is not getting reversed. So, yeah, it is definitely a problem. I also said the other night that was our first visual of what flopping is in the NFL. Because that offensive lineman, and I forgot his name, now that he's mentioning it, he said, yeah, the guy was grabbing me right up under my shoulder pads, but I just kept my head back. And it did. It looked like he was grabbing the face mask. That's the NFL version of flopping like they do in the NBA.
Right.
Michael, what is your...
It fooled the refs.
It did. No, it definitely did. It might have been one of the differences in the game, too. What is your...
It might have been. It was.
It was. Yeah, no, it was. I mean, Detroit had their chance. But it was. You're right. It was.
People say that Detroit still had time. No. Give me back those two plays, that game, we win that game.
Yeah, for sure. What do you think about what's going on here in New England with Michael Bennett, who has played less each week of all 6 weeks? His playing time has gone down. And then, according to him, he issued a statement through a reporter. He has been suspended for Monday night's game because he had, what he says, philosophical differences with his position coach.
Yeah. And I look at it and I say that I thought that was the perfect match. You know, Michael Bennett with Bill Belichick, I thought it was a perfect match, really. But to see this now doesn't surprise me, because it holds true to what Bill is. He's like, hey, I understand you've had a great career and everything, but we do things a certain way. And if you're not going to adhere to these ways, then it's going to cost you. So I'm surprised that they're having these philosophical differences that they're having, but I'm not surprised that Bill Belichick made a swift action and discipline him in this way.
How do you think it plays out? Do they keep him? Do they trade him? Or do they cut him?
Listen, if there's any use in him and Bill can use him, Bill won't let this be a personal thing. He'll try to work it out if he can still get use out of him. Now, if he gets too disruptive or too much of a distraction, then he'll make a hard decision and let him go. And we just saw him make those decisions with Antonio Brown, making the hard decisions. No matter what, that's why I love him, and you have to love him, because he keeps it about the football team. And if you don't adhere to this, you can kick rocks and go do what you have to do.
Michael, you played for some great offenses in your time, except when you're playing my Giants. But anyway, the idea that you can look at this Patriots offense, and even though they're 6-0, is it fair to say that there's at least reason for concern?
Well, we go through this every year now. Remember last few years, Tom would hit a little something, and we would ask on the desk, has it finally caught up with him? Is it finally? And then he goes on a run and win a Super Bowl, and we said, why were we asking those stupid questions? You know, the reality is that those roads to a championship are never paved smoothly, even though we want a smooth ride. It's always paved with peaks and valleys, and you got to ride out the peaks and come together in the valley, and that's what New England has always done. So you want to have reasons for concern. Yes, you can have reasons for concern when you don't see them putting up 30 and 40 points, but don't get crazy. Don't act or don't think for 1 minute in the end that they won't be right there.
Talking with NFL Hall of Famer Michael Irvin, you did a radio interview in Dallas yesterday, and you kind of half suggested that maybe what the Cowboys need to do is go sign Antonio Brown. But I read you were laughing through most of your answers, so I got to know if you were serious or not.
Listen, I am. I often say this to people when I make a statement. I say I'm bull joking, but I am not lying. You know what I mean? There are two things that go on in there. It is what you say and how you deliver it. In my delivery, I am joking and having fun. But in the statement, it is the gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You see what I'm saying? I understand everybody would be mad at that. The Dallas Cowboys, when you remember what they look like without Amari Cooper, they look like pure D-E-O-B-F-I garbage. Garbage. B-F-I garbage. And now Amari Cooper is down, and they are in a battle. Man, if I'm the Dallas Cowboys, I am kicking tires on Antonio Brown. Let me tell you why it's Antonio Brown. Because you can't go, you don't have any more trade capital. You don't have anything to say, you know, well, we'll give you this, we'll give you that. You know, you gave up already a first round for Amari Cooper. It's not going to cost you any trade capital. They're going to say, Antonio, maybe we can do this, maybe we can do that. Just to see. And if you can get him for a couple weeks, and if Amari's coming back in a couple weeks, then you can make a decision on what to do then. I don't want to hear people talk about, well, you're going to get a locker room destroyer. Yeah, what destroys a locker room more than anything is losing.
Right.
I don't care about none of that. That's what destroys the locker room more than anything is losing. And without Amari, you look like BFI garbage. You need to find somebody to help clean up that stink.
What,
that's all I'm
saying. Michael, what would the fan reaction down in Dallas be to the Cowboys going after Antonio Brown?
Yeah, everybody has, you know, an opinion on it, and everybody, you know, we don't need that. And they're saying it now. But let them have one or two more losses. Man, we got to do, you know, that thing starts changing.
Yep.
You go to one or two more losses, they're like, man, okay, who you going to sign? Don't bring Jesus in here, but get us some help. That's open. If they ain't changing. I'm just saying, I know people, I saw them on social media trying to give me some flack about it and all of that. But hey, man, listen, I'm like Jimmy Johnson used to always say to us, I ain't looking for friends. I need wins. I need wins. Give me wins, buddy. That's how you could be my friend.
What's preventing them from bringing them in, you think, right now?
Well, you know, of course, everything. Everything everything's preventing them. The public, probably the NFL is saying something, that, you know, because the situation is still out there. So I know that'll be something that everybody's talking about and everything. And honestly, the fear of, is he going to destroy the locker room, especially with a young quarterback like Dak Prescott. You know, but I just think Dak is too mature and too has his head on straight to let anything mess him up.
Michael, two things on the NFL real quick. What can we make of San Francisco, and what can we make on the other side from Kansas City?
I said to people this, and I've always said it. I don't know about how you guys feel about Kyle Shanahan, but I think the world though, as a coach. You saw what he even did when Jimmy G was down and how he had those backup quarterbacks looking good. And now he has what I believe to be probably the best run game in the NFL. And now that defensive line is coming around and playing. You got a great tight end in Kittle. And I'm like, man, this team is for real. This team here is for real. I guarantee you right now, Atlanta and Arthur Blank, they're over there saying, we have not looked the same since he's gone, since
true.
He left.
True.
And the reality is, as hard of a decision as it would have been, when we got back from the Super Bowl, we should have said, Dan, thank you. We're giving the job to Kyle Shanahan. That's, and they would have still been right where they were and getting back to a Super Bowl. That's how good of a coach Kyle Shanahan is. And in this league, you can use the offense to help supplement your defense and win games. And so, yeah, Kyle, I think Atlanta's, I think San Francisco is definitely for real.
And should Kansas City be concerned?
No, no. We got that game tonight. I'm here in Denver now. We have that game tonight. And I think tonight, not just because they're playing Denver, but I think they've had 2 weeks now to really get Tyreek Hill back in the rotation and back to his normal self. He played a good game last week, even though they lost that game. You saw the type of plays that he made. His speed, and he's not just a speed guy. That touchdown he caught where he jumped up over two guys and went and got that ball, I was looking at that man. It looked like at one point those guys, they had jumped and they were calming back down. He jumped the same time. And when they were on their way back down, he was still going up. I was like, oh, God, look at this right here. And he went and snatched that ball and then fought his way in the end zone. Now that they got their point man back, everything will get rolling again because now they got him back in the offense.
Michael, in your opinion, could the Patriots win a Super Bowl with a great defense and a good but not great offense?
Yes. And let me tell you why. Because even if the offense is not – that's so funny because I just asked my stat guy to get me – make sure I have how many game-winning drives Tom Brady has had over his career. We're asking the question a different way, but it's basically the same thing. We're asking, is Kansas City still a favorite to go up against – the Patriots in the AFC Championship game, and I'm saying yes, because they're the only one that can score and score fast. Because if you don't score and score fast and get up 10 to 14 points on the Patriots, you leave Tom Brady right at home last few minutes and needing a drive. That's where he's most comfortable. That is his sweet spot. So, yeah, if that defense can play great defense and the offense, it sputters around, and the defense keeps that game close, in the end, you leave Tom Brady right at home, right where he wants to be, where no matter how bad I played or what I've done, all I got to do is make this drive right here and score, and I'm a hero. And that he does better than anybody.
Patriots might be getting their first-round pick back. N'Keal Harry can practice this week. He could be activated for the Week 9 game against Baltimore. But how tough is that, Michael, to, as a rookie and at that position, jump in midseason and have an impact?
Well, it's tough to jump in and get acclimated, but you can still have an impact. You can still have an impact. And the good thing is it'll be tougher if you were coming on a team that's losing and they're expecting you to get them over the top. Mm. But he's not doing that. He's coming into a team that is already winning, and they're expecting you to help them solidify. So there's no pressure put on you where you're going to lose your cool or overstress, overexert yourself. All you have to do is not mess it up. You can have an impact. And when you get an opportunity, make those plays. And I believe he's had enough training camp and all that stuff that he'll be ready to do that.
When you look at this Patriots defense, is there any frame of reference to other defenses you've seen?
Well, you know, the only frame of reference we go back and talk defenses on, we go talk about the great ones, the 85 Bears, mm-hmm. you know, or the 2000 Ravens, teams like that, Steel Curtains. No, I'm not ready to put them in any of those categories, if that's what you're asking mm-hmm. me. I'm not ready to put them in any of those categories. And you know what's funny, man? When I just thought about it, think about it. Do you think that they could ever be put in those categories with the quarterback that they have? Think about those teams I just yelled out.
Yeah.
Outside of the Steelers. They never really had a quarterback. You know, the 85 Bears had my man, you know, and the Ravens, Trent Dilfer and all those guys. So now that defense can take over. I don't know if we'll ever give them that kind of cachet with Tom Brady at quarterback anyway.
Finally, before we let you go, Steve DiAsi said earlier in the show that in the course of his NFL career, the two rookies that he ever played with who were most NFL-ready as rookies were you and Willie McGinnis. What makes a rookie wide receiver NFL-ready?
That's a great question, man. Steve, I appreciate that compliment, man.
It's true. It's more of a truth than a compliment because then you came along and kicked our butts for so long after that. But it's absolutely true. You just could see the way you carried yourself and the way you adapted to the offense. It was you could tell right away. Same thing with Willie. Willie was the same guy. You could tell that they were ready to play at a high level very early.
And it's so funny too. And I love working with Willie, man. And you know we got a good chance to spend a lot of time together this offseason over in Europe as we were going around talking to all of the people in Europe and teaching the game of football, the NFL game. And, man, we got a chance to talk about all of that, those rookie years. And Willie's always been that kind of guy, you know, that kind of guy that knows, that makes everybody better around him because he's a leader. He's a leader, and I think that's kind of what you're leaning towards. It's the kind of guy, that comes in and understands his job, but also – want to pick up everybody else as they play, you know, and that's all I ever wanted. My first few years, man, I'm telling you, I used to really cry. I mean, boo-hoo cry about us losing games. I couldn't take the losing. And it seemed to some people were okay with it, you know, and there's a way to go about turning things. Like, listen, man, and you're talking to people like, dude, I don't, whatever you want. You want to make a lot of money. You want to get girls from this. You want to become famous. All of that can happen if we do one thing, if we win. We'll hit everybody's goal if we do one thing, if we win. If you want it for money, you can make some money. If you want to get women, you're going to get some women. If you want to get famous, you're going to get famous. All of that comes under the title of winning. Let's put our focus on that, and all those other things shall come to us.
Michael, we appreciate the time as always. Have a good time in Denver. We'll talk to you next week.
Man, it's so great to be home. I like being in London, but I sure miss being home. When you're in London, you know, I'm watching soccer all day. Over here, I get to watch football and whatever we got going on with football. I had to watch all the games. I got my phone. I got my iPad. I'm going from one thing to another. I need you to see it on a damn TV. You see what I'm saying? On a TV. I'm just so happy to be home, guys. Great talking to you guys.
Thanks, Michael.
Thanks, Michael.
Always good, Michael. Thank you.
That is Michael Irvin joining us from Denver, where tonight he's part of the Thursday Night Football crew. Normally, Michael joins us on Fridays if you're just tuning in. We had to move him to today because his flight schedule out of Denver tomorrow, he's basically going to be on a plane the whole time that we're on the air tomorrow. So that's why we moved him up till today. But it's always fun whenever we get a chance to talk to him.
He's great.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. It's Dale and Keefe with DiAsi Sports Radio, WEEI.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
So we've talked a couple of times today, as we get back to the calls with you guys in just a moment, we've talked a couple of times today about Michael Bennett and our confusion. Bill Belichick was not having any of it. We asked Steve because, you know, he's been in these locker rooms. He's been in these philosophical disagreements with coaches before. So Teddy Bruschi was on with OMF yesterday. And the guys obviously asked Teddy his take on this whole Michael Bennett situation.
I've been in those meetings before when, you know, players have those arguments with their, because you don't do it in team meeting room. You don't, sometimes it's in the defensive meeting room or the offensive meeting room, but a lot of times it happens in the positional meeting rooms when players, you feel more comfortable in a smaller setting and you just let it all out. But it can't be just an argument, because the last time I saw a player and a coach have a philosophical, you know, difference, it was when Junior Seau and Pepper Johnson were chest to chest and were about to throw blows. That's the philosophical difference that I know. When somebody's in somebody's face or somebody's got their hand on somebody's throat and something physical happens. Now, I don't know that for a fact, but to just have that philosophical difference and an argument and you're suspended for a week, it's got to be a lot more than that. Mm-hmm. I think there could have been something going on there.
See, I think he's hit the nail on the head. And by the way, Junior Seau did not get suspended for a week.
Right.
For his Pepper Johnson, yes. You know, chest to chest, ready to throw blows.
It was definitely physical in some degree. I'm not saying he punched him out or anything like that or put him in a sleeper hold, but it definitely... The two made contact, I think, would be the best way of putting it. Maybe other players, because then you notice he apologized to his teammates, meaning the
distraction.
Yeah, so at least that meeting, at least one meeting, and maybe this has been ongoing, but he disrupted that. So maybe they were looking at film, and then the next thing you know, somebody had to step in between the two. It was a back and forth between Bennett and Brett Bielema. Maybe there were some personal things said. Maybe they got up. Maybe one challenged the other. Whatever it was, it sounds like it had to be a pretty ugly scene for it to lead to a suspension.
You don't get suspended for philosophical differences.
No.
You don't get suspended.
You don't get suspended for yelling at your coach.
No.
Maybe if it was Belichick, but I don't think that
just
happens.
But like that word choice or that term choice is just dripping with, you know, either sarcasm or sort of like wink, wink. Like, oh, I had a philosophical difference with somebody. Right. Like, you know, I punched a hole through my TV. I had a philosophical difference with the TV.
It had to be. You're absolutely right. That's what it is. Absolutely correct. There's no way that he would expect people to believe that you had a casual philosophical discussion about the state of football in 2019.
Like, I think I should play more. It's like, well, Michael, I'm sorry you feel that way, but other guys are doing a better job, and based on the game plan each week, you have not been a big part of the plan. Well, I think I should play more.
That's not my philosophy.
Well, you know what? Then you know what? You're suspended.
My philosophy is I make $6 million a year. I should play more.
Right.
By the way, couldn't you actually, I could, as Teddy was saying it, I could easily visualize Junior Seau and Pepper Johnson chest to chest.
No doubt.
Ready to throw blows.
And neither one of them backing down until
somebody's going to have to get in there.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to have to separate those two.
That'd be a good throwdown. Junior had a few years on Pepper, but not a lot. I mean, a few years younger than Pepper, but not a lot. That would have been pretty good.
That would have been. I would have watched that.
Put my money on
pay-per-view.
What?
Yeah.
He's dirty.
Yep.
He's dirty. Seau seemed too nice a guy and too, you know.
Right.
Until you were fighting with him.
Well, until you were playing against him. You know.
Right,
then
exactly.
he was vicious. But yeah, I think you're absolutely right about that. I don't think there's any way you suspend a guy for even a very heated shouting match. I don't think you do that. But.
And Belichick calling it today personal issues.
Yeah, that was an interesting choice, too. And he knew he was going to be asked about it, so he was prepared to answer it that way.
Right.
And he wouldn't even talk about a guy who, as far as we know, is still on the team. Wouldn't get into it and even gave it the old, I'm here to talk about the Jets. It's like, well, what's going on with this one player on your team who's playing less and less, by the way? And it's funny because a couple of weeks ago, because this has been a trend since week two. I mean, but at that point, you didn't think much of it. But every week for six straight weeks, he's played less.
Yep.
And a couple of weeks ago when he was asked about it, remember Belichick came up with, oh, we play a lot of guys on defense, and even McCourty is playing, like Devin McCourty's playing less. You're like, all right, what, from 100% to 98%?
Exactly.
Like,
fine,
yeah, because you held on to the ball for 40 minutes,
yeah,
that's why.
Like, okay, yeah, he's playing less because you guys have had some big leads and maybe you can take him off the field or whatever. But he even brought that up to sort of, you know, distract from the point a little bit. But the reality is Bennett's role has been less and less by the week. He clearly is upset about that, but he did more than just say that. Like, there was a whole lot more going on.
617-779-7937. Tucker's on the cell phone. Hey, Tucker.
Folks, hope you're staying warm. And
it's quite warm in here, actually.
It's actually toasty. But what do you got?
So, let's make some mountains out of Belichick's molehills, right? So, they ask him, what does Bennett's role look like going forward? He says, we're on to the Jets. Well, that tells us he's not playing against the Jets, right?
Well, we already know that.
Yeah, he's not.
because he told us he wasn't playing against the Jets.
Yeah, that's what Bennett said. But, right, but Belichick kind of confirmed it in a way.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So that seems like maybe we don't have to do a lot of work. I mean, we'll probably see something like you said.
I guess the question here is, do they cut him? Do they trade him? But don't you think there are three options. They cut him, they trade him, or they play him.
And don't you think keeping him is the least likely at this point?
I would think so, too. But one of those could lead to another. If you can't trade him, then you're going to cut him.
Yeah.
I wouldn't doubt if he's already been shopped around. It doesn't sound like...
Because there's the old argument, teams would look around the league and they would say, all right, you're probably going to cut this guy. He seems to be a pain in the ass, and you're not even using him, so why would we trade you anything if you're going to cut him? But then the other argument would be, if you think he has something left of the tank...
Because if I cut him, he could sign with anybody.
Anybody.
If I trade him to you, you got him.
Deal. That's it. That's it.
But you're also picking up his contract, too.
You are.
Yep.
But all you're asking for is a seventh-round pick. You're asking for nothing.
Right.
And I think in this
regard, you're not even asking Detroit for Danny Amendola.
Yeah. No. You know, maybe you start there because maybe they don't want Amendola as much as they thought that they did because, you know, his role has gotten less. I know he also got hurt, which he always is, but he was great week one and since then has been really quiet. So maybe you get that deal or you just get him out of there. And I think as an added bonus, if you can keep him away from Kansas City or Houston or one of the teams that you think you're going to be competing with in the AFC, sure. Although maybe you also think he's lost a step or two if you're not playing him this much. So I think it's just going to be easier for them to not deal with it and get rid of him. And I don't know if this is like a holding pattern. Because like, why do you, if you suspend the guy, you're not ready to just release him yet. Otherwise, he'd have been gone yesterday.
Well, we were talking about him being released anyway before this happened.
Right.
So this is something we talked about 2 weeks ago.
Exactly.
So it's not, we're not talking about this. This might be the thing that puts it over the top, but it was very reasonable to think that with the lessening of his playing time, that could lead to him getting released before the trade.
They would prefer to trade him so they can save a little bit more money on the cap,
right?
Because either way, he's off the team. I think it might be the difference between like $2 million, the difference anyway. So if you can do that, you have a little bit more money to spend on a wide receiver or a tight end. So that's what they want to do, but maybe you just have to cut him.
Do we have any idea? Because I haven't read much about this. Do we have any idea about how he plays within the locker room? I mean, is he a good teammate, bad teammate, indifferent? Do the players like him? Like, for instance, even though the fans and the media sometimes get frustrated with David Price, he is wildly popular in his clubhouse.
Well, and
his
again,
teammates love him.
It could be Patriots speak, but on Monday when we talked to Lawrence Guy, he gave a pretty lengthy answer about Michael Bennett, and it wasn't just, to me, it wasn't just Patriot talk, because he was talking about how he's a guy that they can all watch film together, and he could say, oh, what are you seeing on this play and go back and forth.
What you expect from a vet.
So that's what he did. So he sounds like a traditional veteran in that regard.
Right.
Lawrence Guy had a lot of positive things to say about him. So I'll take him at his word.
Sure.
And I think as far as the players are concerned, now that I don't know if they feel differently after this outburst, or I think they just say, hey, he's a competitive guy. He's fired up. Whatever. You're like, what are you going to do? So I think he's well-liked in the locker room, but just based off of that one question.
Which has no bearing whatsoever on whether he can help
your
team.
No, I was asking about whether you're adding by subtracting. That's why I asked the question.
Yeah, but again,
if he's disruptive, if he's, you know, if guys
right,
are, you know,
right.
what's he, and I'll just, I don't know this happened. I'm using this as an example. The reports were that in the past, when he got pissed off and frustrated, like he'd be sitting there reading during meetings.
Yes.
He wouldn't even be paying attention. Now, if you're a teammate and you see that.
Can't imagine.
You don't like that.
Nope. Can't imagine. Right. And when you look it's okay to like a guy, but you can also understand how he might not fit into the organization.
Right.
That's not.
I think it was
not a dichotomy that you can't carry in tandem. It's just the way it is.
I know a lot of people are saying, well, maybe they never should have brought him in to begin with, but I think it was Nick Underhill in The Athletic kind of hit on it, where he was supposed to replace Trey Flowers, but the way they're playing defense now is sort of morphed away from even needing that role.
Yeah, the third down specialist, they don't get where that's a huge issue.
It's not a thing. And also, the other guys that he's kind of competing with are playing so well. Like, everybody on the defensive front is playing so well that he's been kind of squeezed out. But you didn't know that at the time. You didn't know how good Chase Winovich was going to be.
Nope.
You didn't know Jamie Collins was going to fall in your lap.
Yeah, you didn't know all of that yet.
617-779-7937. Only because it makes my partner really happy. We're going to talk LeBron James when we come back.
Isn't he the best? Isn't he the best, that guy?
He is the gift that just keeps on giving, at least to little Richie Keefe.
Yep.
That's coming up in just a couple of minutes. Dale and Keefe with D'Ossi, Sports Radio, WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.